This is Intersection, I'm Matthew Petty. Images of tanks rolling into Ukraine and refugees flooding out of the besieged nation are evoking memories of past conflict, including World War II. Central Florida author Joni Sherm says there are striking parallels between the Russian invasion of Ukraine and wars of the last century. Joni Sherm is the author of Adventurers Against Their Will, Extraordinary World War II Stories of Survival, Escape and Connection, Unlike Any Others, and My Dear Boy, a World War II story of escape, exile and revelation. And her latest is Steadfast Ink, Discoveries from the Past with Understanding for Today. Joni, thanks again for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here again with you, Matthew.
So one thing that many commentators have noted is what we're seeing unfold in Ukraine today has some pretty grim echoes of the past, particularly World War II, and of course more recent conflicts too. But I wonder what's going through your mind as you see what's happening in Ukraine and reflect on some of the stories that you've reported on from your own family and, you know, what came out of the Second World War and the trauma that unleashed.
Yes, for me, it's been difficult. I've really spent a lot of time with a great deal of sadness, because as I see the stories of refugees, you know, fleeing from a country of 44 million, it's a very large country. But I'm hearing the voices that are in the letters that my father saved. My father saved 400 World War II letters by 78 writers, 70 carbon copies of his own letters with lots of pictures and other things that really told the story of that era. So his story was escaping the Nazi occupied lands that he was from as a young doctor and making it to China. And when I see what people go through, just like he, it was very difficult to leave. Even in the earliest stages, that was in March 1939, when the Nazis had just occupied his country. And they wanted people, especially that were Jewish like him, to leave, but they made it very difficult for him to leave. And so even some of his documents were black market documents. So you see now these people struggling, you know, standing in lines and in cars, waiting to just get into another country. Luckily this time, Poland and other countries in Europe are sounding like they will really welcome them in. That was not happening at that time in 1939 around the world, especially for Jewish refugees. But so when he got to China is when he received a lot of letters from his friends, who some of them were like him, who had escaped to places like Great Britain or South America, even some in China like him, in the U.S., anywhere they could get to. And so they're writing like the people will soon be writing from Ukraine to other relatives, trying to describe the uncertainty, the difficulty, you know, whether they were welcomed or not, how difficult it was for them to communicate with family at home. So we don't know how it's going to turn out clearly in Ukraine and how much the regime of, you know, Putin may take over and make it very difficult for those who stayed behind, either because they wanted to, you know, like my grandparents wanted to stay behind. They didn't want to burden anybody. They did, and they perished in the Holocaust, and so did 42 other relatives. So a lot of what I'm reading is just very, very much the same. You could just take the letters and read them now and know that, you know, the same pain, that same, you know, will to go back to your country, to defend your country, all of those things are through these letters. So for me, it's very emotional, but I also think trends show in history. So we saw Crimea, just like we saw the Sudetenland taken away from the Czech lands. So in a very similar move, and, you know, the Munich Agreement was kind of, you know, ridiculous, you learn in history, because they thought that Hitler would stop there. I think people hoped that Putin would stop with Crimea, but he showed no indication of that this whole time. Obviously, the war continued in another area of Ukraine. So I think we learn a lot, but I'm inspired by a different world this time around, you know, in the sense that they're standing up, you know, not just NATO and Europeans, but all over the world, and even individuals and organizations and private sector doing the pieces that they can to fight propaganda or, you know, stop, you know, dealing with Russia in big ways. And so the economic pain they feel, I feel like maybe lasting in terms of not only impacting the Russian economy and the poor Russian people, who I think have shown a lot of them, they don't want to be in war either. But I also think in the future, when autocrats here and there decide they might want to do something, they suddenly are going to see this going on, and maybe it will impact decisions in the future for a favorable don't go do something like this.
When you talk about the stories that you've written about for your family escaping the Holocaust, I mean, you're talking about a trove of handwritten letters. And of course, technology has changed. Now we're kind of sifting through social media. Things seem to be, you know, information is available in real time, whereas before it may not have been so easily accessible. So in some ways, we're getting a lot of information all at once. And it's, I wonder, that just kind of makes it a little maybe more challenging to pass in some ways.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. I mean, when I see social media the way it is, and I'm engaged even as a elder of the society, pretty much, you know, on Twitter and elsewhere and Facebook and everything, certainly we're learning things in real time that make us react and emotionally respond. And I think that all of that is very positive. But I also think it's very frustrating, because when you see now, you know, the military lining up, the Russian military, with 30 miles, I read, of tanks and other horrible devices, you know, we want to react as a, you know, humanity, but we can't. And it's frustrating. And I know that it's not an easy choice for what's going on in Ukraine, for how NATO reacts. And I know these things are complicated, but somehow you feel like you just want to jump in and do more. And so I know I've donated to the United Nations, you know, refugee program and the International Red Cross, but that's about all you can do as a citizen watching in a very vivid way on the news 24/7.
Mm-hmm. How many echoes do you think people are seeing in last century as to what's happening now? Like, I wonder just kind of how disconnected people might be from history and what the challenges might be around that.
Well, I do feel like, you know, World War II and the letters that I have are, you know, some of them are 80 years older, you know, old. So it's been a long time. But I do think, you know, when you saw the original tanks and troops lining up at Ukraine's border, to me, it was really weird, because I looked at those and I thought, if they made them black and white photos, they looked very much like World War II. And the one thing I think that I'm seeing now that I'm very proud of, because I go into classrooms and try to teach peace by looking at the past. And, you know, often people say history, we don't want a history to repeat itself, but I think trends of history are always true from centuries, to be able to see certain things that are unfolding and you have to act on them. But what I'm seeing are very dedicated social studies teachers that are, a lot of them engaged in what's called the National Council of the Social Studies. And they are really using all these moments to teach real history in real relevant times, you know, with relevant tie-ins. And so I kind of think, as long as we don't see the trend for book banning continue and things that are kind of not, are unsettling to me in our country right now, I think if you let the teachers teach using this moment, there will be a lot for teaching peace. I mean, that can come out of this in the best ways for people to see how things unfold and what we need to change and how we need to react quicker. You know, things like the people that are caught up in the border. I mean, I feel like we should be flooding in, you know, the 82nd Airborne or somebody that can really help that checking of the papers if that's required, you know, in a crisis like this or something, to move those people to places they don't have to stand in the snow and ice with their children. And, you know, that's appalling. So I think we need to be able to change the rules and act quicker in crisis like this. And it's not just there, it's in many places that we've seen in the world over the past almost two decades that I've been working on what I'm doing. I've been very, very attuned to what's happening with refugees.
Well, Joni Holzer-Schirm, author of Adventurers Against Their Will, Extraordinary World War II Stories of Survival, Escape, and Connection, Unlike Any Others, My Dear Boy, A World War II Story of Escape, Exile, and Revelation, and Steadfast Inc., Discoveries from the Past with Understanding for Today. Thanks so much for your time and your insights.
Thank you very much.